Number 18 in the back of the book, number 18.
Satisfied. We know that it's needed on a daily basis. We thank Thee for the encouragement of being able to be at special meetings like this. We ask Thee to continue to meet our needs. We think now of the meeting before us and ask Thee to provide that which is needful and helpful for us now. We ask in the name of Thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Shall we open our Bibles together to Revelations, please? In the first few minutes of the meeting, I'll try not to take too long here, be real short. Revelations 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are richer written in it, for the time is at hand. Verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Chapter 1 is the things which hast seen the past. Chapters 2 and 3 are the things which are. Chapters 4 and back are future, the things which shall be hereafter. The things which are in chapter 2 and 3 are the seven little epistles to the seven churches. Today I'd like to look at one little small portion out of chapter 2, break in at verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. We see the word doctrine in verse 14, and the word doctrine in verse 15, excuse me. So the topic there is what needs to be corrected, what needs to be overcome in a lifetime against false doctrine. There are other passages about Balaam in verse 11 of Jude and in the epistle to Peter. One is the error of Balaam, one is the way of Balaam, but here we have the doctrine of Balaam, and all three are different. Let me read verse 17, please, together. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save or except he that receiveth it. I'd like to thank my brother that just prayed about the bread of heaven. Thank you. It's wonderful to hear and to know that we have the bread of heaven. Let's move down to chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. When we look at these passages, we see the overcomer. That is a title of a Christian. That is something that we can obtain. Back where I come from, a long time ago, it was said that you cannot measure a tree until it's cut down. Speaking about the end of life in reference to that. Now they have new modern means and technology to measure while it's still centered. Be that what we may, the thought is, at the end of life, we can then receive a title of an overcomer. If there was an epitaph put in the paper about me that said Bill was an overcomer, it would be the nicest thing I could receive. I hope you want to be an overcomer. If you notice the passage that we read here in verse 17 of chapter 2, to him that overcometh is current. Chapters 2 and 3 are the things which are. Right now, sitting in your seat, you have the opportunity to become an overcomer of seven different things. But it cannot be said that you're an overcomer until you've finished your life. Once your life is over, the Lord is going to say, you overcame. If you look at chapter 3 here, in verse 21, it's a past tense about our Lord and our Savior. Even as I also overcame, he overcame. We need to know what our Lord and Savior overcame, don't we? We have to understand what it is to finish it out all the way and to have overcame. Now we are overcoming. To him that overcometh in the future when it's all done. Turn with me, and we'll come back to this, to John chapter 16. And our brother prayed it in his prayer. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcame the world. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan was there and he said, look out there at the kingdoms of the world and I'll give them to you. And Jesus knew better. The world systems out there have been set up by Satan, the prince and the power of the air. He has set up greed. He has set up covetousness. He has set up the way to try to make peace is get guns and have a war. Not like the peace that our Lord knows and gives us. Everything that he has set up is like the Antichrist that mimics Christ but's wrong. And Jesus can say, I have overcame the world. When we're done on our last day, can it be said that we overcame the world? Here are seven different things in the world systems that are wrong that we can overcome. One of those things is false doctrine. The doctrine of Balaam. We've been studying about the women of Moab. And what did Balaam do? He was hired by the king to try and put a curse on the nation of Israel. And he couldn't do it. So he gave him false doctrine to go down and marry the women of Moab. Moabites. He gave him a false doctrine. I don't want to be specific on any type of false doctrine. I just want to leave false doctrine in all of its forms. If we can overcome that. I want to look at what the beauty is of what we can receive later. Revelation is about things future, but we're in a section of things which are, and we have to come overcome it now in order to receive it later. A positive thing. How many of these positive things do you want? I will give. Verse 17. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. I'd like to read one more verse. It's in 1 John. Get my fingers on it. Chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Christ. The kingdoms of the world and overcoming the world. The hidden manna. Before we touch on the hidden manna, I'd like to look at another type of manna, and that's what our brother was praying about, the bread of life. It's still the same manna, but it's the obvious manna. I'm going to put that little title on it. The obvious manna. Turn with me to Exodus 16, please. We have to understand that hidden manna. If I'm going to have a goal out there of something I want to receive, I have to understand it, of what I'm setting my goal towards. When I went to college, they said there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And as you progressed through college, you got closer and the light got brighter and all of a sudden you were done. And I'm progressing forward later in years. And it may be when the Lord comes in a few minutes. It may be down the line. I may have to die and then be risen up. I may be raptured, and I'm looking for that uppertaker, not the undertaker. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain you would have a different word there, a rate or an amount, every day that I may tempt them or test them is what that means, that he may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare it, and that which it shall bring in, it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Here is this obvious manna that could step outside the door that was rained down. Christ, the bread of life, was never hidden to his soul. When he was born on this earth, there was a star that they could find him. And to the Jew, they gave him a sign. They gave the Jew a sign. They said, he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. The Jews always want a sign. And to the rest of the world, there was a star and they could find him. He's never been hidden to any unsaved one out here, ever, on the face of this earth. That includes you. He's nigh unto you, right, even in your own mouth. Confess with thy mouth, and thou shalt believe in your heart that he's your Lord and your Savior. He's never been hidden, has he, to any unsaved. So we're looking at the obvious manna right out there called the bread of life. 5 days they gathered one portion. By the end of the day it rotted. On the sixth day they gathered two portions. They ate one portion. The other portion remained without going bad for the sixth day. And they ate it. Anything they didn't eat was rotten. Obvious manna. Called the bread from heaven. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For is there no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls longeth for this light bread. Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78, verse 24. And it rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. We're getting a lot of different titles. The bread, the light bread, the corn of heaven, the angels' food. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have that ye should be ignorant of all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, the same spiritual food. Another title for the manna. We eat of the manna, the spiritual food, anytime we want to open it up and feed from it, don't we? It's the obvious manna. What is the hidden manna? If that's going to be my goal, what's going to be the hidden manna? Manna means, what is this? They didn't understand it. Let's go back to Exodus 16 again. Let's see if we can find out about the hidden manna. Exodus 16, verse 33. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. My mother down in the basement had doors that opened up and shelves. And every year she canned and made preserves. And it kept for the future ahead for us to go down there and eat. This manna was laid up, lay it up before the Lord to be kept. Take a pot and put a full, complete omer, a full portion in that pot. Mom would fill it right up the brim, take a little paraffin wax and seal a jar of jelly off and put it down there. You know who'd sneak down and get in the jelly, don't you? Yep, right down in the preserves, good old sweet stuff that Mom made. I'm looking forward to some good old sweet stuff for my Lord and my Savior. Some personal manna. Some hidden manna. We started to get a little drift of this. Hidden manna. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 4. Which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about it with gold, in which was the, now we find it's a golden pot, that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. In the holiest of holiest, there was only the veil that was kept everybody out, except for the high priest. The nation of Israel could not see the manna in the golden pot, in the ark, inside the holiest of holies. It was not visible to them. We now have hidden manna. We now have hidden manna. There it was, way back in Exodus 16, put in that pot. Never to be spoiled, to be kept. For a future day. To the one that overcometh, beware of false doctrine. So you can have some of the hidden manna. Every one of these seven things, some of them have double portions like this one for one thing. They start out with one and one. It depends on the severity of it. And they all change. And now we see there in the ark, inside the holiest of holiest, the golden pot with the manna being kept. There in Revelation 2 and 17, when we read it, I will give thee to eat of the hidden manna. It's going to be one full portion given to you personally if you're an overcomer. I have a goal now to personally achieve to receive some hidden manna by my Lord and my Savior. Hidden manna that I can't see right now, but it's going to be there. And I can sit at His feet and He can feed me of the hidden manna. What's the answer maybe to the hidden manna? It's hidden. I don't really know. Let me read you a portion that it may be. The Gospel of John, the very last chapter. The very last verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which is, if they should be written, I would suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. My Lord, in His humility on this earth, did so many perfect things that the world couldn't contain all the books written about it. And if I sit at His feet and He tells me all that He did for me, I'm going to appreciate and I'm going to be taught. Martha and Mary did two different things. Let's work for the hidden manna so we can sit at His feet and He can tell me and give me that one full portion. You can receive it, your personal portion if you're an overcomer. And just sit there and let Him tell us all about it and thrill my soul inside of what my Lord and my Savior done that I don't even know about, far more than I can conceive. Got to wrap up and close. Back to Revelation 2 and 17. Let me get back there. And also a white stone and a new name written in it, which no man knoweth save or except he that receiveth it. A white stone is His appreciation for a special guest. He calls us lilies.
Solomon in all of his glory couldn't even be arrayed like one lily of the field. That's how priceful we are to him. And special guests. And he says, come over here. Here's your special stone. Very private. You ain't going to see it. You ain't going to see it. Only the receiver's going to see it. And it's from him to me personally. To him that overcometh, beware of false doctrine. Get that precious stone. A new name on it. Only the happy recipient knows it now. Only that person knows it. Whether it's I will change thy name to, I don't know. But I'll be ready to receive it if I overcome. Very, very individual joys that one personally has for becoming an overcomer. He has a very special delight in each and every one of us. And it has to be because we were triumphant over the world now. Over the world now. In order to receive it. There's a secret communication of love between Christ and the overcomer. A joy that can be shared with someone else? No. It's a joy with me personally and my Savior. The same way with you. It's reserved up there for me. Preserved and kept. If I just overcome. The hidden manna is our appreciation of Christ in his humiliation. And the white stone of his appreciation of us as an overcomer. So I'm sitting at his feet, getting the manna and appreciating Christ in his humiliation. And over here, I'm receiving a white stone with his appreciation of me becoming an overcomer. To each and every one here today, may we look personally at the overcomer. Seven of them in the little book, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelations. A beautiful title, once we're past. He overcame, even also as our Lord and Savior overcame the world.